So, with all that being said, I want you to turn with me. 1, 2, 3, 4. To Ephesians, the first chapter. This is where we were last Sunday. And I want to continue some things here. There's some things I really want to emphasize. Let me ask you this question first, and you don't have to respond. I just want you to be thinking about it. What does it mean to be in Christ? That's a good question. What does it mean to be in Christ? Well, the first thing I will say about that is that if I'm in Christ, am I not in the thought or in the mind of Christ, first and foremost? So a lot of times we get lost in our thoughts when it comes to being in Christ. Because if I think I'm in Christ and I'm putting myself in the flesh, then that's what I'm going to fulfill. I'm going to fulfill the lust of the flesh and I'm going to call it Christ. We're not there anymore. We now know that if I'm in Christ, I'm in the mind of Christ, or I have the mind of Christ. Amen? So if I'm in the Word of God, am I in the mind of Christ? Yes, I am. Let me read some things. We read these things last week, but let's just hit it again. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. So Paul was an apostle according to who? The will of God, okay? To the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. So who's Paul writing to? He's writing to the faithful in Christ Jesus. If you look at the epistles of in the New Testament, in fact, let's look at the New Testament. Is the New Testament written to them that are without or to them that are within? To the within. That's important that we understand that. Because if I'm within, then my mind then has been translated. So I know that when I'm within, I am in the mind of Christ and I'm not in my own mind. And we have the assurance then of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen, because now I am in Christ. Important? I believe so. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. So, we talked about this a little bit last week, but if I am in heavenly places, now my mind is where? It's in Christ. It's in the Father. It's in God. Okay? So is it in the earth or is it in heaven? What's the difference then between thoughts in the earth and thoughts in heaven? Okay, so we know that if my mind is in heavenly places in Christ, correct? Then I'm not thinking on earthly things. Now, earthly things, we have made some very good definition about some things when it comes to spirit. When we talk about earth in Christ, are we talking about spirit or are we talking about flesh and blood in the physical plane? We're talking about spirit. So we know, we made these definitions before. We'll call it terrestrial. Terrestrial is spirit. But what spirit is it? Is it carnal spirit or is it Christ spirit? We know it's carnal. We know that this is carnal. Now, why would we say that the terrestrial spirit is spirit and that it is carnal? Why would we say that? Say that again. Correct. That's where the thought dwells. The thought dwells in the earth. We can even say this is earthly. Now, what had to come to us to tell us this? The Word of God. The Word of God had to come to us to define this for us. Until the Word of God was revealed. Was this revealed? No. There was no understanding. So when the Word of God came, did it begin to create all things God in you. So then when we read this, let me read this again. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has... Now when it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's it talking about? The Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Who's that? Who is that? You're overthinking it. Is not Jesus Christ the Word of God? So, when it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, isn't he saying, blessed be the God and Father of the Word of God? And it's the Word of God, or God spoke to bring all this into the mind, into your mind. So when he spoke it to bring it into your mind, isn't that what caused the separation to begin to take place in your thought? Aha, there's something working now in me by the Word of God that is higher than my thought. Because without the Word of God, you would have never known. Been impossible for you to know. So, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. So now, I know that when God spoke the Word into me, it began this work or this process of making himself known in me. And in making himself known in me, in prophecy, who was he revealing? We know he is revealing himself, but as what? You know the Word. The Son. He's revealing himself as the Son in me. That's what he's doing. So if I look at the New Testament is written to people who can hear the Word of God. How about to them that cannot hear the Word of God or have no desire to hear the Word of God? Is it written to them? I'll tell you this. God speaks to everyone. Just not everyone wants to hear what God has to say. And some will take what they hear from God. And we talk about this all the time. They'll take what they hear from God, and what will they do with it? They'll sow it. They'll let it sow into their own thought and not let God bless them with heavenly thought. They want to keep it in the earth. Or that which is carnal. They want to sow to the carnal and not to the heavenly or the mind of Christ. So it's very important for us to understand that when the Word of God comes, it's not leaving you in a place where you cannot be conformed into the image of the Son. That's not its work. Its work is to conform you into the image that God had for you from the beginning of the world. So in this first chapter, it talks about that which is foreordained for us or predestined for us. I know that in the purpose of God, his plan for us was to create us in his own image and his own likeness. I can take you right to the book of Genesis. We all know the story, at least everyone that's online today and everyone that's in this room today and hearing this word. We are familiar enough with the Word of God in the book of Genesis that we know that when when God had an intent to create man, it was to create man in his own image. Is everybody with me? So when God spoke the Word of God to create man, it was to present to himself his Son. Did he not? Yes. So did not God create Adam as his son? In fact, I know that the Bible says that the word Adam, it means man, but it means Son of God. So when God spoke to create the Son, it was to present the Son to himself. That's awesome. So now when he speaks to you, to conform you, to change you, to save you, let's use that word salvation or to save, when he speaks that word to save you, the only thing that can save you is to do what for you? I just gave you the answer. Okay, is to present you to himself as his son, right? You've been conformed or created anew in his own likeness. You become that new creature. The old has passed away. So we were talking about some things this morning before we got started, and that was looking back, right? Because you said that Micah referred to that Thursday night. So if the old has passed away, do we want to keep looking at it? No. What did Lot's wife do when they left Sodom and Gomorrah? She turned back. What did God tell her not to do? Not to turn back. So when she turned back, then her mind took on the form of a pillar of salt. In other words, she could not think God to be saved. There was no salvation. She broke the commandment of God. She became disobedient and denied the very salvation that God had brought to her through revealing to her his son. Now, we don't think of it in those terms when we read the story. But if the Lord were to show up and tell you you had a reprobate mind, what would God be telling you? What's a reprobate mind? It's a mind that cannot think God. Doesn't even desire it, wants nothing to do with it, and has separated itself from the Word of God. Would that mind not be the same as what happened with Lot's wife? Yes, it would be. So just by the fact that you're here today in the fellowship of the Word of God, what does God already know about your mind? It's being conformed into the image of his son. Is that not his intent for you? That is his intent for you today. So, let's go on. Now listen, according as he hath chosen us in him, in Christ, before the foundation of the world. So, God foreordained before the foundation of the world that this was going to be so. Now, if you can for a moment imagine God speaking that word into you that he spoke from the foundation of the world, what world is he talking about? The one in you. Correct? So, before that world was set in you, this was God's thought. Aren't we here to understand and learn how God thinks? So before it all, I'll never forget when I was sitting in my chair and I was reading the Word of God, and God, all of a sudden, God just took me into his mind and showed me how he began to speak the Word from the beginning. And I sat there and I was awestruck of the things that were in the mind of God to bring forth or create all things. Now, when we think of all things, we think outwardly. No. It was God's plan for his son from the beginning, and how he, when he spoke it, and it began to form the greatest imagination of creation to bring forth the Son in power to sit on the throne of God. Now you think about that. That is so much higher and so far removed from a carnal thought. Because I want you to understand one thing for sure. God does not think carnally. Not even for a moment. And the reason he doesn't is because he knows what it sows into the mind. Now, does God understand carnal thought? Oh, yes, he does. And that's why he raised up Michael to overcome the devil in heaven. So that those thoughts would not be in heaven. And so when you entered into heavenly places in Christ Jesus, neither would those thoughts be in you. Now, for me, that's a pretty outstanding way to perceive and understand what God is talking to me about when the Word of God comes. He's not talking to me about who I am here in the terrestrial thought. He is talking to me about who I am as a possessor of heaven and earth in heaven, sitting on the throne of God as the Son of God. That's what He predestined for me. That's His will for me. Let me go on. According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. That we should be what? Holy. Who's holy? God is. There is none righteous, no, not one. So the only way for me to be holy is to be conformed into the image of God. That's the only way. So if my mind becomes the mind of Christ, then am I counted holy as God is holy? Yes, because now my mind's become renewed or saved by the Word of God, and I'm beginning to understand God's mind and God's will for me. So Jesus, did He not say, did He not pray, not my will, but thy will be done, when He was praying, correct? He's about ready to get crucified. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Now, some of us think that He was saddened in heart at that moment in time. I'm going to tell you something. He knew what was set before Him. He knew what He was to do. In the mind of the Father, He knew exactly, because He did it once before. Doesn't it say that before the foundation of the world, this was God's plan? So when we think of Christ coming into the earth, now we're not talking about, God help me here, we're not talking about a physical dispensation of time here that we see in the carnality of fleshly, lustful, physical desire. We're not talking about that. We're talking about the Word of God being dispatched into the earth to bring forth in you the Son of God. Do you understand the difference in what I'm saying? I hope so. So, for sure, that when the Word of God comes forth and it begins to form the Son in you, do you have a body for that Son to be formed in? Please say yes. You do. And so that body, even by the Word of God that is coming to you, that body, is it going to walk in the mind of Christ? Is it going to walk in the Spirit of the living God? Please answer yes. I know for a fact that the God I serve hates sin. Is everybody with me? God hates sin. What does He love? His Son. He loves His Son. That's why He sent the Word of God in prophecy to tell you what? You're a son. He loves you. And every word He speaks begins to be a revelation of the love that God has for His Son, thus the revelation of Jesus Christ. So He is waking your mind up to all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus so that you can understand how much He loves His Son. That's why God does not look at the parable of outward flesh and take a body or a color or race of people and say that they are blessed above all people of the earth. God does not do that. That is not even in the mind of God. And yet, in the carnal mind, that's the very way that we receive it, and we form judgment based upon a wrong thought. That's what we do. You look at history in the physical plane with, let's look at Hitler for a moment. What took place in that man's mind that would cause him to want to destroy all Jews? So, here was, in his mind, they said that they were God's chosen. The Jews did, right? In the physical body. They were God's chosen people. Now, who's ever listening to this, please don't become offended at what I'm going to say. Please, 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 please. This is a description of thought for people to understand how the mind works. Okay? So, Hitler decided that the white race was, that were not Jews, were higher in thought or more important than they were. I'm going to tell you this. All of that, I don't care which side of it you're thinking in, all of it is against God. Because you're looking what? You're looking outwardly, and you're making, you're assigning judgment to your mind that did not come from heaven. I'll just say it that way. And so that's how those things are created, and that's how those thoughts become predominant in this plane, the physical plane. But they did not come from God. I don't care how we think about it. I don't care what side of that you're on. It just doesn't matter to me. The important thing, and the important thing for you to understand today, is that when God speaks to you, it's to conform you in the image of His Son that is separate from all of that. None of that has any bearing on the mind of God when it comes to the Son of God. Just so you understand. That's why it's very important to understand that God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. I can't even imagine forming a judgment in myself that would disallow any soul or any person from coming to the knowledge of Christ. I can't even imagine it. Yet, there was a time in my life where that was my thought. My judgments were outward. And because of an outward judgment, I believed that some people would never know God. Or God wasn't capable of saving them. My God. That means that God wasn't capable of saving me. Because I was disallowing my thought not to be saved. That's the judgment that I was basically walking in. And God had to come in a very powerful way to take me out, or to take those thoughts out of my mind and convert those thoughts to the thought of God. Are you with me? I hope so. I want us to begin to understand, and that's not the right way to say it. By the Spirit of God, God is no respecter of persons. And I'm thankful for that today. Greatly so. That's why even when He came to the Apostle Peter in a dream, in a vision, and a sheet descended from heaven, and in the sheet were all sorts of beasts. And Peter said, and the Lord told Peter, take and eat. And Peter said, oh no, they're unclean. Three times it appeared to him. Three times God told him to take up and eat. Then the word of the Lord came to him and said, Peter, whatever I have made, it is clean. Here's the thing that we've got to begin to realize. That when God speaks to us by the Spirit of God, is it clean or unclean? It is clean. It is clean. God does not speak in uncleanness. What causes us to take on an unclean thought? A wrong interpretation or a wrong thought from the carnal mind. Then I know that the enchanter or the necromancer is working overtime in my mind to pervert or change the Word of God into a lie. Here's the most important thing to understand, and this is why the book of Romans in the first chapter lends such a great speaking to it. And that is, if I choose to believe a lie and then I hold the truth in that lie, what am I doing? Am I not telling God that I have no desire to be His son? And if that's what I'm telling the Father, that I have no desire to be His son, then am I going to be able to walk in heavenly places in Christ Jesus? Am I going to be able to be blessed with all spiritual blessings? Or am I cutting myself off from the will of God? Are you with me? So God purposed, before He spoke, what the plan was. It was purposed in Himself. Now, a lot of times when we read those things, we're not in the mind of God, so we're like, well, I don't really get it. What do you mean He purposed it in Himself before all things were spoke? How could He create in Genesis the heaven and the earth if He didn't already have a plan before He spoke it? Isn't it remarkable? I find it remarkable how much time we have spent in terrestrial thought trying to create the physical planet of Earth to be like it is in the book of Genesis. I even read a magazine article here recently about proving Jesus Christ in the physical plane someplace in the Middle East. And I'm like, you know, here's the odd thing about all that. They never can prove it. They make assumptions based upon outward perceptions, not knowing God. I remember my dad used to always get these magazines called Archaeological Life or something like that. And it was always to prove, it was a Christian magazine always trying to prove God here in the physical plane. And I always found it interesting to read some of those articles. Now, I couldn't read very many of them because they were so full of mundane thought when it came to explanation that you'd get lost in the reading of it to where the point, you never knew what the point they were trying to make. In fact, I don't believe they could make a point, but that's okay. So the important thing to remember is that God had a plan. God's plan was to bring forth His Son, whom He loved, and present it to Himself as the greatest work of God ever. Now, we don't think of it that way. But that is our salvation. So when I hear the Word of God, first thing I know, or first thing that I should know, is that when I hear it, who's God making manifest? His Son. Always. So who can reveal the Son? The Father. We know these things. Who can reveal the Father? So when the Son is made manifest, my mind now goes to the Father. It's the greatest reciprocation of thought that you will ever know and understand as you begin to relate to the Word of God. It's powerful. Thus, you are blessed with all spiritual blessings. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. So now He just told you, in presenting the Word of God to you, what is he doing for you? It says, it uses the word adoption. Other word, but in a greater sense, he's taking you back. He's taking back that which was his from the beginning. We should all be so thankful for that. That God is not, we were not born in a physical body just to wander in nothingness or to wander in a mind to bring forth our desires. We were born in a physical body so that we could take on the mind of Christ and know God's intent before time began. That was the whole desire of God. And so when we leave that desire, that first church, what did it do? That church that's in us? Aren't there seven churches in us? So if I leave that desire, then what have I just left? My first love. So if I leave my first love, everything thereafter then is a regression or a digression of thought that's going to always leave me in the earth, and I cannot come in to the things of God. So every thought then that's in me is a dead thought, because I don't know life. I know who life is. Who's life? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father but by me. So if I deny Jesus Christ or the Word of God, if I deny the Word of God, can I find life? It's impossible. Because we're not talking about life here. We're talking about eternal life. Isn't that what we're referring to in all things? We're talking about what we are in the mind of God, what we will be doing in the mind of God, what has forever been in the mind of God for His Son. That's what we're talking about. Nothing more, nothing less. Everything made perfect in Christ Jesus. And so when the Word of God comes to you, like today, if you will hear His voice, if the Word of God comes to you today, that word's going to do what for you? What's it going to do for you today? Is it not going to conform the mind into the mind of Christ? That's what it's going to do for you today. So in the revelation of Jesus Christ in the Father, when was that revelation? Before the world began. But we don't think of it that way. But that's the truth of it. Otherwise, how would God speak to Abraham? How would God speak to Adam? If the revelation of Jesus Christ wasn't from the beginning, how would God have spoken to anyone or anything when it came to creating His image and likeness in them? It would have been possible. And yet, we don't think of it that way. Yet this morning, believe me, if you have shown up here out of obedience and respect for God, then let God be that God in you to bring forth the revelation of that Son whom God says you are. Can you imagine entering into the revelation of Jesus Christ and God taking you into heaven, showing you the throne of God? Now, I can go to the 6th chapter of the book of Isaiah, and we can read something about that throne of God, right? And the cherubims, the 6 cherubims, and all that stuff, the altar and that has the coals of fire on it, and one of the cherubims coming off the throne and picking up that coal of fire and purging the mouth of the prophet, taking away all sin and all iniquity. When really, who's it talking about? But God taking you into that vision. How about, can you enter into the vision of Isaiah to see it? And when you see it, the Father taking you, lifting you up and setting you on that throne? What would the Father be doing for you? Would he not be blessing you with all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus? Because where does that son sit? How could it not sit on the throne with the Father? Doesn't the Bible say that the Son and the Father are one? Didn't the Son come forth out of the Father? So if we think that the Word of God is making me something less than God, we are thinking wrong. Now that will blow people's mind. Well, you can't be God. What are you thinking about? Are you thinking about Dave Lowry being God? Or are you thinking about the Word of God being God? What are you thinking here? I'm telling you that the Word of God is God. It is not separate from God. It is distinctly God. And if that Word is forming your mind, my mind, is not that same Word God? I was in a conversation last week, and this gentleman was telling me some of his thoughts, and I just looked at him. I said, so basically is what you're telling me is you don't believe that God is absolute. Well, he's absolutely God. I said, well, if he's absolutely God, then how can this person have one thought, this person have another thought, this person have another thought, this person have a different perception, this person have a different perception, and call it God? I said, that's not absolute. Absolute is absolute. Truth is truth. I do not get to define truth for myself. God hath defined it from the beginning. God hath said what truth is. God told me that his Son is the truth. So when the Word of God comes and it relates to the Son of God, is it the truth? But if it relates to something else, is it truth? No, it's not. That's the part we forget. If it doesn't relate to the Son, then something else is bringing forth the understanding in my mind, and it's the lie. It's the lie. I know now there's another spirit working in my mind, and it's a law that did not come from God. And he's a tricker. And he was a tricker from the beginning. So as the Word of God comes and it begins to create in me, is it going to create heaven and earth? Is it going to create light and darkness? Here's the more powerful thing in it. Can I know the difference in it all if I have the mind of Christ? Amen. Amen. I can know the difference. Does God want me to know the difference? Didn't he call me his son? So if he calls me son, then I know that before the foundation of the world, he had this plan. He had this foreordained, predestined desire or will for the Son. And that when I believe that I am the Son, then I also believe in the foreordained or predestined will of God for the Son. I cannot change it. That's why in the book of Hebrews, the 6th chapter says, he swore with an oath. He made a promise, and he swore with an oath. And there's no one that can swear greater than God. We try to swear, but it's not as effectual. He swore with an oath that it was not changeable. It's immutable. In other words, once it was written, it was done, and it cannot be changed. Thus, the Bible says that Jesus Christ is the same, or the Word of God is the same. yesterday, today, and forever. Isaiah saw God and said, he heard God say, I am God. Beside me there is no other Savior. I am He, and I change not. That's powerful. So if I begin to think or begin to be drawn into these revelations or visions or dreams of God that bring forth the Son and begin to create or ascribe glory or power to the Son of God, am I in the right place? Yes, I am. Is it the desire of the Father that I be there? Yes. It's just like on the mountain of Transfiguration, he took Peter, James, and John with him up on that mountain. Now, we think that they climbed a mountain. That's basically how religion has presented to us. But when Jesus was praying with them and they went up, they entered in. He took them, because he could, he took them into the mind of God. And on that mountain, he heard Jesus Christ, the Son of God, have a conversation with Elijah and Moses. How could he have a conversation with Elijah and Moses? Because they were also in the mind of God. And the thing they began to talk about was how Jesus was going to die to bring the disciples into eternal life. And when they heard it, Peter says, hey, it's good that we be here. But then he screwed up. Because in him was this other spirit. And the first thing that came to him, he spoke, you know, it's a good thing we be here. So let us build 3 tabernacles, one for Elijah, one for Moses, and one for Jesus. And poof, he was gone. Now Jesus stayed and talked to Moses and Elijah. Peter's mind was out. And then this voice from heaven came. This is my beloved Son. Oh my gosh. Hear ye him. That's what God's telling you today. It's awesome. God does not forget. God is life. How can God, who is life, forget? It's not possible. But we, who are sown into death, we forget. But when that Son is raised up in you to eternal life, are you going to forget or are you going to remember? You're going to remember all things of the Father. Whatsoever he has spoke as the Word of God, the Holy Ghost is going to be quickened in you to bring it to your remembrance. Is that not awesome? That's the power of a resurrected life. Of a resurrected life. So if I'm resurrected, am I in life or death? I'm in life. If I'm in life, am I in the Father or out of the Father? I'm in the Father. If I'm in the Father, is the Son then being made manifest? And when I see the Son, I am seeing who I am in the mind of God. Now, all that said today is awesome. It is awesome. And it is being said to teach you, to sow into you the greatness of our God and His mind towards you in the fullness of his love made manifest. Isn't that awesome? Let your mind so be in Christ. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Are you thankful that you're here today? Are you thankful for the Word of God today? God bless you and everyone. Have a happy New Year.